Heads up, everyone. There is some grouchy journalist banter ahead, with the occasional swear word thrown in. Since Chris Cuomo was put on indefinite leave from CNN, I've been looking back at his archive from the early days of the pandemic. Back then, with COVID spreading in New York, Chris had an inside source in state government, his brother, the governor, Andrew Cuomo.
Now, you know, I've seen you referred to a little bit recently as the love gov, and I'm wondering if that's bleeding into your demeanor at all, making you a little soft on the president.
This is from back in April 2020. It's an interview that is a weird marriage between news and pure silliness.
I am the love gov. I'm a cool dude in a loose mood. You know that. I just say, let it go. Just go with the flow, baby. You know, you can't control anything.
You've never
so
said
don't
any
even
of those
try.
Things.
Water off a duck's
it's
back.
The first time you
That's
said
me.
Any no, of those.
Yeah, I think I. Really? Yeah. Wow.
You've never said any of those.
Look, I have.
I've known you my whole life.
All right. Well, that's your opinion. Yeah. Well, you should listen better.
I think of these interviews as belonging in the annals of weird things we thought made sense at the beginning of the pandemic. Like, we thought we should be wiping down our groceries, or we thought we needed to wear masks outdoors. And a lot of people thought it was okay for Chris Cuomo to interview his brother on TV. Eric Wemple from over at The Washington Post, he was never one of those people.
I certainly didn't like cheer it on as many people did. So
it's kind of funny to look back on those videos now.
It is.
They're entertaining. It's an entertaining conversation.
I called mom just before I came on the show.
It's not what
By the way, she said I was her favorite.
She never said
Good
that.
Good news is she said you were her second favorite. Second favorite son.
They flit between personal discussion about mom and pop and then in very serious matters of public policy and New York State's preparation for COVID.
There's only one of you right now. And if you get sick, it's a problem. So I know you like to run around with your ill-fitting jacket, but just remember that. You got to stay healthy. I need your big brother because I love you and you're the center of the family, but you're the center of the state right now also.
As someone who used to work in TV alongside Chris Cuomo, I get the appeal of these segments. Even Eric calls these conversations intoxicating, but they're also ethically dubious. It's hard to hold a powerful figure to account when that powerful figure is your big brother. Were you surprised that CNN let these conversations take place at all?
Not really, simply because they have gotten, I think, increasingly desperate for any way to hang on in this ratings race. You know, if you deal with cable news, you know that's the way they keep score. And that's about the only way they keep score.
It was the only way they kept score until this week. That's when text messages and transcripts got released by New York's attorney general, showing how after those chummy on-air conversations, Chris ended up taking things one step further, advising the governor on how to respond to allegations that had fostered a toxic work environment and sexually harassed his employees. These are allegations that eventually led to the governor resigning. On Tuesday, CNN decided to suspend Chris indefinitely. Looking back now, these early brother-to-brother interviews, to Eric Wemple, they seem to be where things started to go wrong for the younger Cuomo. They're an initial ethical lapse that led to so many others. I wonder if you think if CNN had intervened earlier, been stronger about those ethical guidelines, whether you think things would have gone differently.
I do think that if they had been stronger early on and sent that sort of message, that Chris Cuomo probably would have thought twice about, you know, intervening the way he did in his brother's political pushback operation. These cable news people, I think that at some point it really dawns on them that they have a great degree of leverage and latitude, and they can screw up sometimes with impunity.
Today on the show, who's to blame for the ethical breakdown at CNN? And will Andrew Cuomo bring his brother down with him? I'm Mary Harris. You're listening to What Next? Stick around.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
The thing about those TV appearances between Chris and Andrew Cuomo at the beginning of the pandemic, they were always against the rules. CNN said so. They just made an exception. It didn't hurt that this exception was pretty good for their bottom line, bringing in a massive audience to Chris Cuomo's 9 p.m. show. Eventually, Chris even showed up at one of his brother's official press conferences, sporting a hat, advertising Cuomo Prime Time.
CNN was very much aggressive in seeking this sort of, co-branding that they had going on there. You remember the swab incident, and they were just going, you know, they would bounce back and forth between Andrew Cuomo's press conferences and his appearances on CNN. And it was just this sort of self-reinforcing bubble that they had going on.
You say the swab incident, we should explain it a little bit. This was an appearance on Chris Cuomo's show. His brother, the governor, was there. And at some point, Chris brought out this giant prop Q-tip and made a joke that, like, this is what would have to go up your nose.
Right, exactly.
All right, here's the swab. Is it true that this was the swab that the nurse was actually using on you?
See, I said I was going to be nice and sweet.
I just want a yes, no. And was it this?
I was trying.
Or was it this?
Very hard. Look.
Which was it?
I mean, it got attention because it was so goofy in the middle of a crisis.
It was goofy in the middle of a crisis. It was also part of this chemistry and the sort of eccentricities and between these brothers. And it was also sort of theatrical. And it was also widely panned by Chris Cuomo and CNN's critics. The right wing fed off of this moment. And I think, quite frankly, in retrospect, that was pretty well-guided, satire. And I'm sure that, I can't imagine anybody at CNN looks back fondly on those moments.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, Ben Smith, writing in the New York Times, implied that the relationship between the Cuomo brothers was almost a model. Like, it fostered trust in journalism. And maybe it was a kind of future. And it's interesting to look back on that kind of assessment now, because I can see why you would say that.
Because it's bullshit. You know, it was just embarrassing.
The conflict of interest here became more apparent as Andrew Cuomo's scandals came to light. First, a controversy over the governor undercounting COVID deaths in nursing homes. And then a budding investigation into allegations of sexual harassment. This time, the Cuomo Buddy Act was nowhere to be seen.
That became glaringly obvious, okay? So here he was covering his brother in the most direct way possible, namely via one-on-one interviews during the early pandemic. And now things were getting dicey, and Chris Cuomo was having nothing to say about it. So I started writing about that silence. And I think then in March, maybe March 1st, Chris Cuomo came on the air and said, you know, don't think I don't see what's going on with my brother.
Obviously, I'm aware of what's going on with my brother. And obviously, I cannot cover it because he is my brother. Now, of course, CNN has to cover it. They have covered it extensively. and they will continue to do so.
I'm sorry, and that's what I have to say about that, and then he moved on.
Now, a charitable interpretation of that is that this is Chris Cuomo and CNN tapping the brakes. Maybe the way they should have months before, but they were at least tapping them. How do you see it?
I mean, I see it just clearly. I think it's a double standard, right? Things are going well for Governor Cuomo in early 2020, so we interview him and celebrate him. Things are going poorly for Governor Cuomo. We don't have anything to do with that. And so it's a double standard. I mean, charitably, yeah, tapping the brakes, I suppose. You know, it is true that other parts of CNN were covering these other things. So it's not a problem on every hour of CNN. But Chris Cuomo being the 9 p.m. anchor, that's pretty much of a table-setting position for the network. It's a really important consideration. Mm-hmm. You know, Dan Abrams, he is a longtime lawyer and commentator, legal commentator. I was on with him on News Nation. He was saying, well, no one really interpreted or experienced those early interviews in the spring of 2020 as Chris Cuomo, quote unquote, covering his brother. They saw it as a talk show. They saw it as something entertaining and a nice distraction. And I said, well, that's fine. You can have that interpretation. But it still says CNN, which means cable news network on the screen. And as long as you're coming out and saying that you're a news network, you don't have that out. Hmm. You know what I mean? So if you're news, if you're saying you're news, you're saying you're producing journalism. And if you want to get on the air and say, no, this is no longer journalism, this is just entertainment, then you can go ahead and do that. But I would bet that if you ask CNN whether those segments qualified as news, they would tell you we produce news 24/7. So that's a defense that I believe that CNN wouldn't even make for itself.
What happened this week is that the Attorney General of New York released this trove of documents showing just how closely Chris Cuomo and his brother, the then governor, Andrew Cuomo, were working together as the governor's administration became embroiled in scandal. So while there was this on-air silence, we now know that there was anything but silence behind the scenes. Can you explain what you found in these documents? Because there's 300 pages of them. What stood out to you?
So the way I break it down, sort of like after doing spending a lot of time in these pages, is that Chris Cuomo really wanted to help his brother. His whole thing was trying to get the aides for his brother to face up to whatever truth there was. I think that on some level, on this basic level, Chris Cuomo was acting as kind of an agent of good in a way you would want a journalist to influence politics. You know, if journalists were going to become political consultants, this is sort of the advice you want them to give, which is, you know, tell the truth, face up to the facts that other people can interpret your actions differently than you may have intended them, and you're responsible for that. Don't run. Come out and make amends and apologize. So, you know, I think morally and ethically, those are really strong guidelines that he urged upon these people. So he, for several weeks or whatever in these text messages, he was pushing the top aide to Governor Cuomo, Melissa DeRosa, Democratic operative, very sharp and very obviously involved in the weeds and all of this stuff. There are text messages where he's saying, please keep me in the loop. You know, I feel that we're not being listened enough, and he's taking off other people that he thinks should be giving their input. He also reports back about his efforts to, like, check on the status of other publications' stories on the governor.
Right, he's using his media contacts to figure out what's going on.
Right. He's using journalists to figure out what's happening. I should also point out that according to my reporting, too, a lot of the journalists were contacting him proactively, because if you're going to do a story on Andrew Cuomo, you're probably going to call Chris as a source, right, to figure out he might know something. So that particular road was a two-way road. Hmm. All he had to do was basically wake up and answer his phone. He was talking to journalists about what was coming down the pike. That's not a defense of that. That's just saying what happened, I believe. So he was constantly or very intensively working with the executive chamber of Governor Cuomo in an effort to push back against the sort of the accruing allegations of sexual misconduct. He was advocating for them to advocate for his brother in a way that he felt would protect his brother and also serve the interests of truth. As I said, he was trying to, you know, do some political intelligence, trying to find out what various when various organizations were publishing something. He also, on a couple of occasions, it appears, was he once reported to Melissa DeRosa that he had, quote unquote, a lead about the wedding girl.
This is the girl that the governor hugged without her permission, and there are pictures of it.
Right, and he put his hand on her exposed back, which I think is also, you know, that's problematic, that she reported that that was improper touching. So what happened there was Chris Cuomo reported to Melissa DeRosa that he had a lead on the wedding girl, so he looked into it. Apparently what he found, according to his testimony, was that this woman, Anna Rook, her testimony was consistent from the start to finish. And so he said, told the investigators, so that's that. You got to wonder what would have happened if he had found, you know, some other situation there, whether he would have set out to discredit her. I don't know. But what is clear is that he was doing that sort of work.
I mean, you say that in some ways what Chris Cuomo was doing is like what you would want an ethical person to do in this circumstance, advocating for the truth. But wasn't he also suggesting language that was pretty bitter for his brother to use, like to blame what was happening to him with these allegations on cancel culture?
Right. This is a story of many prongs. What I'm gathering from my reporting is there was a feeling within the executive chamber that some of these complaints were less worthy than others, and that they didn't think that all of them were substantive enough to put the governor in political peril, if you understand what I'm saying. I think that that's what they were referring to with the cancel culture, but I don't have that like on the record. It just seems that's what I can gather from sort of going, sifting through everything, talking to people and so on and so forth. And that does trouble me too. Like the cancel culture,
it's a talking point.
It's a talking point, and I think it's a poor one. It's a ham-handed one. It's a blunt instrument, and it's basically bullshit, right? I mean, like, if you have credible sexual harassment allegations against you, that's not cancel culture. It simply is not. And he was also, as the Post reported in May, he was also very defiant and counseling for no resign, do not resign. So that was also a prong of his input.
The way that Chris Cuomo has characterized his behavior is he said, I'm not an advisor, I'm a brother. And I never attacked or encouraged anyone to attack any woman who came forward. It sounds like in some ways you might think that's true.
Oh, no, I think that once you start having calls with the executive chamber. Now, he didn't participate in all of them. And if you look through the transcripts, according to one of the PR people in the shop, Chris may have participated in 1/5, maybe 1/6 of the calls. He said that if there were 25 calls, Chris may have participated in 5 to 7 or 6 of them. But he clearly, by what he was doing, had moved from his capacity as brother, as journalist, into a political consultant and a political advisor and a political operative. I mean, look, this is very clear. The sort of stuff that the texts portray him as having done is stuff that a political consultant would do or a political operative would do. I don't think there's a lot of ambiguity about that. I think that that is spin on his part, that he was a brother and not a political advisor. I'm sure that that's the way he felt about it. But the core activities that he was doing, that's political.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that that is, that there can't be any wiggle room on that. What I'm working on now is, okay, so he did all this stuff. How effective was he? And it's apparent from the transcripts and just other conversations I've been having that he wasn't very effective at all.
Like he wasn't getting through to the advisors?
Yeah, like he was trying to bang on them. And even in his testimony, he talks about how he starts getting sidelined and he didn't feel like he was being, that his input was being really valued or considered. Now, that could have been performative. That could have been, you know, spin in the interrogation session. But if you look at how Melissa Rosa answers the questions relating to Chris Cuomo, she says, like, you know, I was getting stuff from everybody. And this part about where he says, I have a lead on Anna Rook. If I recall her testimony correctly, she was like, she didn't engage with that particular offering by Chris Cuomo because she wasn't really too worried about the wedding situation. She was worried because that wasn't really a workplace thing. And so Chris Cuomo offering, you know, some degree of intelligence about Anna Rook apparently was not of great interest, at least to Melissa DeRosa, if I'm reading the transcript properly.
To Eric, this irony is key, that while Chris Cuomo's advice to his brother clearly breached an ethical line, putting his career and credibility at risk, it wasn't actually of much consequence to the elder Cuomo's damage control strategy. Chris himself seemed to recognize that in his testimony to the attorney general. At one point, he says his number one concern was protecting his family. Eric says Chris's impulse to help family, it's understandable. It just doesn't excuse the way he went about it.
I kind of wish that he had just taken a leave of absence or something, you know, so that he could do all of this. But there's another point in the testimony where he sort of like acknowledges he's not like Chris Cuomo is not in there saying he's providing all this value added either. He's not saying that he has all these contacts and he can, you know, he's better at this than the people who were employed in the executive chamber. He was just saying he was trying to make sure that the chamber was putting out the right sort of message for his brother. And that could be spin too. You called me out earlier saying, you know, I gave an incomplete account of you know, of his sort of input. And you're right about that. And I'm glad you did. But, you know, you sort of feel for him when he talks about, you know, the limitations of the advice that he was giving. Because these people were experienced political operatives, which makes it even a little more tragic. It's like, okay, you put your career on the line for what?
When we come back, what responsibility does CNN bear? This episode is brought to you by Discover. When it comes to your finances, Discover wants you to know they are the credit card that is always there for you. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We are talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you want to understand what is happening in the United States right now, you really need to understand what's happening with the courts, the law, and the Supreme Court. The battle between democracy and whatever this cage match is that we're witnessing, it's going to be won and lost at the ballot box, but it's also going to be won and lost in the courtrooms. I'm Dahlia Lithwick. I host Slate's legal podcast, Amicus, and we are doubling our output, bringing you weekly episodes from here on in, because how else can we keep an eye on the many trials of Donald Trump, the conservative legal movement's assaults on our rights, the Supreme Court's latest slate of environmental gutting, gun safety eviscerating cases on the docket? So follow Amicus wherever you get your podcasts, new episodes dropping every Saturday morning.
You said how Chris and Andrew Cuomo and their shtick was good for CNN's bottom line. I read that Chris Cuomo's ratings doubled when he did those appearances with his brother. I wonder if you can talk a little bit, now that he's on this indefinite suspension, what does that mean for the network?
That's a good question. The way I put it would be this. CNN is a real sort of opportunistic network. They jump on any major news story and they just crank it. So when those stories are roaring, it doesn't matter who is anchoring. CNN will get its viewers because it has this enormous reach. It has 3,000 journalists, has so many bureaus. They have resources that other networks don't have. But when the news isn't roaring, okay, those personalities at night matter. Don Lemon, Anderson Cooper, Chris Cuomo. They have to put some spin on it. They have to have some special sauce. And that's Chris Cuomo and his shtick. You know, his shtick at night is like, I'm Mr. You know, Righteousness, and I give it to you straight, and let's get after it. And he has all these shticky things that very much his interviews with Andrew Cuomo played into.
And we're in a moment now where the news post-Trump is having a dip.
Yes, yes. So they need those personalities. They need Chris Cuomo. And that's why I think up to this point, they have been loath to sanction him or take any sort of disciplinary action over this whole thing.
You've also said that 100% of Chris Cuomo's misdeeds are now also the misdeeds of Jeff Zucker, CNN's president. Can you explain why you said that?
So it was May when, as I said before, the Post reported that Chris had participated in these strategy sessions. In other words, that he had not just counseled his brother on a one-to-one basis, which I think a lot of people would give him a pass for, but that he had participated as in the role of sort of a moonlighting political consultant. CNN had this information in May, in August. And my point is that they can't claim to be blindsided in late November, right? Because they knew that Chris had done some work with the executive chamber to help his brother and to save his reputation, save his political career.
Yeah, it's funny because if you look at CNN's statement after they suspended Chris Cuomo, it does feel like they're trying to claim that they were blindsided. You know, they claim that the documents somehow reveal something they didn't know before. Do you think that's bullshit?
I think the statement, line by line, word by word, is accurate and true. But I think it's also, its implication isn't quite accurate, if you understand what I'm saying. The implication is that they couldn't have known.
The reality is that they didn't try.
That's my point. 100%, Mary. You nailed it. The thing is that they knew in May and they knew in August that there was a role that Chris played. Now, how would an organization figure out how its employee, how deeply involved its employee was in something? Ask him. You know, he's their employee. Like, they have leverage over this person, you know? So you sit Chris down and you said, how long did you talk to the investigators? And he says, I talked to them for hours on, you know, July 15th. Okay, I want you right now to sit here and give me a 2-hour summary of everything they asked you and everything you respond. And as much as I say I'm not a huge Chris Cuomo fan, I think he would have faithfully gone through that. And it would have been his obligation to. And that's what a good journalistic employer does.
I just think it's interesting because it's really easy to talk about this in terms of the personalities we're familiar with. Chris Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo. And you seem to be saying, in some ways, like, the real problem was that no one managed this dude.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, I pointedly stayed away from saying, you know, especially in the headline, you know, Chris Cuomo must go. And I do think that the bigger point here, you know, everybody's been talking about what's the appropriate punishment and so on and so forth. And my view is that the appropriate punishment is sort of a secondary question. The appropriate behavior for the company is to figure everything out and then publish what they found. And so there needs to be, in my view, a CNN investigation of how he may or may not have betrayed the trust of CNN, his colleagues, and the viewers. CNN doesn't seem to be going far enough, as far as to commit to that investigation. If you read their statements carefully, they stop short of using the term investigation, right? They say a review, evaluation, you know. On Monday, they said, we'll do a thorough review or something like that. And they said they're suspending him pending further evaluation. But they haven't said an investigation.
Or like what that evaluation is.
Right. So, I mean, it is, you know, it's very much up in the air. I don't know what they're going to do. But I think that's the sort of conduct that we need to see from CNN.
So where's Chris Cuomo in 5 years? Syndicated talk show?
Well, you know, I don't know that he's necessarily going to be let go ultimately from CNN. I mean, they said indefinite suspension pending further evaluation. He's not gone yet. But, you know, there's there's News Nation. There's a lot of, you know, Megyn Kelly came off of Fox to NBC News, and now she's got a pretty thriving podcast and show on Sirius XM. There's just so many places where you can land in the media these days. And after you've built up an audience that's in the high hundreds of thousands or millions, like Chris Cuomo has done, there's a carryover. He will be fine.
Eric Wemple, I'm so grateful for this conversation.
Well, thanks for having me on. Your questions and your obsessions are wonderful.
Eric Wemple is a media critic for The Washington Post. Before I get out of here, if you have been following the arguments about abortion at the Supreme Court and want to hear some of the best analysis around, make sure you go over to Amicus and hit subscribe. That is Dahlia Lithwick's show. She's about to drop a new episode in the next little bit. You will not want to miss it. Okay, that is our show. What Next is produced by Carmel Delshad, Elena Schwartz, Mary Wilson, and Danielle Hewitt. We are led by Allison Benedict and Alicia Montgomery. And I'm Mary Harris. Go track me down on Twitter. Say hi. I'm at Mary's desk. And thanks for listening. I will be back here on Monday.